I guess you've already figured out that I think Thomas was given a bad rap. Doubting Thomas. I mean, really. If anything, he should have been called Realist Thomas. But that doesn't have the same ring, does it? Thomas, except for those times when he's grocery listed with the other disciples, there are only three references to Thomas in the Gospels, and they're all in John. And they all reveal Thomas and the character that he had. The first was when Lazarus died, and Jesus planned to return to Judea, where villagers had already almost stoned him. And Thomas replies to the group, "Let's all go, that we may die with him." That's brave. And none of the other disciples jumped in on that. Then, when Jesus told his disciples that they were going to join him in glory, that where he went, they would go, Thomas said, "Wait a minute, Jesus, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Everyone else was just accepting it. "Okay, we'll see you there." But Thomas said, "Wait, Jesus, how is that possible? You forgot to draw us a map." And then there's this week's gospel. When told that Jesus had appeared to the other disciples, Thomas was incredulous. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I'll not believe." You may see that as doubting. I see it as Thomas being Thomas. Being realistic, being practical, being brave, being honest, and yes, maybe doubting a little. What was he doubting? What was he doubting? Was he doubting that Jesus had died? Was he doubting that Jesus was resurrected? Or was he doubting that the disciples had actually seen Jesus? And if we're asking questions, my first one would be, where was Thomas when Jesus appeared to the other disciples? We don't know. John doesn't tell us. I find it a little interesting that he wasn't hiding away with the others. Did Thomas not fear for his safety? Or did Thomas not care about his own safety? Or did Thomas decide that, "Well, that's done. I need to go find a way to make a living now, so I'm heading out"? Or did Thomas just need some time alone? I don't know. Maybe he had his own hiding place. But it tells me that there was something different about Thomas, and not necessarily bad. So I declare to you today that I don't think Thomas was such a bad guy. I'm thinking I would have wanted to be a little more like Thomas if I had been around that day. The other disciples had been living in fear. And it might have been hard for Thomas to not think that they had talked themselves in to seeing something that they hadn't really seen. Perhaps Thomas wasn't questioning the other seeing Jesus, but was questioning whether what they saw was a living, breathing, wounded Jesus, or were they seeing a heavenly, whole, divine, mystical wonder? I've really been thinking about that a lot this week. If Thomas could really have been asking that question, rather than not believing in resurrection? And what difference would that have made? What difference would it have made if Jesus had been a vision, or for lack of a better word, an angel or a ghost, rather than a resurrected Jesus? What difference to the world would that have made? It's important for me to believe that Jesus actually came and walked on this earth again. After really thinking about it and pondering it and reading about it, I came to the realization that resurrection to me means that Jesus really did come to this earth to do what God sent him to do, to give himself for this world. Thomas needed to feel the wounds in Jesus' hands and his side to know that Jesus came to give himself completely for this world, and that he did it. He really hung on that cross. He really had his side pierced. He really died, and he really returned because he gave himself completely for you and for me. I recently read about a friend on Facebook who, as long as I had known her, had been a person of a very strong faith. But right now, she finds herself no longer believing. She said that while she didn't believe, she missed her church. She loved them a lot, and she was kind of lost, not going. And I said, "Why don't you just keep going? No one will mind." And she said, "I feel like too many church people are just in it for what they can get out of it." And that broke my heart. But then I began to think about what people see here when they come to church. Do they see people who believe that Jesus was really resurrected? Do they see people that believe Jesus was sent to this world to give himself for this world? And if so, do we also believe that Jesus calls us to give ourselves for this world? Hear me. Not give ourselves for Jesus. Give ourselves to this world. E. Elizabeth Johnson says that people are waiting to see the marks. They're not looking to see the marks in Jesus' hands and sides anymore. They wait instead to see the marks on us, the church. The wounds in our hands, the wounds on our sides, the evidence that we really connect to the Jesus who was crucified and raised. That really made me stop in my tracks. When I meet a new person, or even when I'm around people who know me, do I allow you to see my wounds? Do I allow you to see the wounds in my hands and the wounds on my side? Do you see my willingness to carry the cross and to give myself for this world because Jesus gave himself? Are we willing to be like Thomas? Are we willing to place our hands in Jesus' hands and in his side and to see the pain and suffering that he suffered for this world? And are we willing to recognize that we're called to do the same? in the name of the one who was crucified and raised, to give ourselves to this world so that Jesus' resurrection continues today. That's why the Thomas story is so important to me. You know, this John scripture is one of the few that is the same every year in the lectionary. It never changes. This week after Easter is the Doubting Thomas story, because it's important. We need to be resurrection people, and that means not being afraid to show our woundedness to each other, to not be afraid to give ourselves completely to each other, to be willing to run into the face of ridicule and danger to say, Jesus, I'm going with you. We need to be a little more like Thomas. We have this table spread before us, and we come to it each month, and it is a reminder that Jesus gave himself to this world. Jesus already belonged to his Creator, to his Father. But he came for us, for the people here who live and breathe. And so we come to this table to remind ourselves of that gift, so that when we leave, we have the strength and the courage to be like Thomas and say, I'm going with you, Jesus. I'm going with you. So this table is the table for anyone. Anyone who wants to remember and who wants to share in the love that Jesus gave for us.